Hey, this is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week's guest is Emily Schramm. Emily is a former MTV Real World participant. She was named ABC's Next Fitness Star, and she's also a nutritional therapist and online coach. In this show, we talk about her process for goal setting for herself and her clients. We talk about gut health, being consistent on your diet, how to get over a breakdown in your process when you're working towards a goal, as well as everything she attributes to her success, whether it be shifts in her mindset or changes to her behavior. Enjoy the show. Hey, this is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. Emily, thank you so much for making some time for me today. I appreciate it.
Of course. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you on. So I want to just give everybody a little what to expect here. First, you know, you're an incredibly successful human being and an expert coach. And so I want to start out talking about just fitness in general, what you do personally, as well as what you do with your clients. And then after, I want to talk about some of the personal things that you think have led to your success and what other people can learn from that. So let's start with just a little brief background. You've been a TV star on MTV's Real World. You were named ABC's Next Fitness Star. You're an avid CrossFitter. What else do people need to know about you? What is your career about?
Yeah, so I really just kind of through my own journey, I want to teach people about their body. And so that, you know, goes with a couple different avenues, but really with what I call nutritional therapy. So I became a nutritional therapy practitioner 2.5 years ago, and that's been a huge piece of my practice now, especially working with athletes and people that are in that high intense realm 24/7. And then I also, for me, I just run online programs and online challenges. And that's been a way for me to just teach people a little snack bite information about eating real food. And then I also invented a backpack. So when people ask me what I do, I just say, I'm in the food world. Yeah, I'm in nutrition and I have a backpack company, which is, you know, kind of a random right wing thing, but I love doing it. It's really fun to have a product that I invented and I created, and it has a really fun purpose. So yeah, it's kind of what I do.
That's interesting. You said a really right wing thing. What do you mean by that?
Oh, like for me, I guess I shouldn't say right wing in today's age with politics.
Yeah, that's where my mind went. I was like, how is that right wing?
For me, it's like, it was so out of the blue. It was just this idea that I was like, I need this for myself. And so I'll create it and see what happens. And then it just turned into something I couldn't even imagine when I, you know, was thinking of it on the airplane. So it was just like outfield. We'll just keep it PC and say in the outfield, way out of the blue. I'm a trainer, I'm a nutritionist, I help people. And then all of a sudden it was like, nope, I have a product. And now I am an entrepreneur. Here we go.
So cool. I definitely want to dig into the nutritional therapy in just a little bit. First, how do you approach goal setting with yourself and with your clients? What does that look like?
So goal setting, I mean, you don't get anywhere without a goal. I think all of us here know that. I think realistically what those goals are and knowing that it's for self and not for another person or not for the ability to look another way for acceptance from other people is important. So really digging into the answer of why do I want this goal has been really helpful for a lot of my clients. You know, of course we want to lose weight, but if you don't want to lose weight because you legitimately feel like it's something that you want to do, it's something that you feel like you would be happier for if you did it, or if you think that you would be more accepted if you did it. I think a lot of times we say a goal and it sounds amazing, but motivation will always give up, right? There's an end to motivation, and it's all about what is going to be there at the end of the day when you have no energy, you have no willpower, you can't tell yourself no anymore. What's going to keep that goal in sight? And it has to be a really deep thing. And so really getting into that question of why is important. And then just being realistic, you know, I'm one of those people, I'm like, you know, even if I get to my goal, for an example, you know, I think all CrossFitters can relate to this. Like, my goal is to snatch, you know, 170. And then as soon as I snatch it, I was like, I want 175. Like, you can't be content. There's no contentment. And so I'm constantly battling that place of, I want to be better, but I also need to be grateful for where I am. And so I think more so than goal setting, I'm the reminder in their head that they're doing it and that they're crushing it and that they have to acknowledge the good that is happening without just constantly thinking of what's in the future. You're really dialing it back to, you are good enough today.
Right. I love, love, love that you brought this up. I think that one thing that a lot of CrossFitters can relate, and they may not even be aware of this yet, but they make the goal to make it to the regionals or the games, or just to place a certain way in the open. Mm-hmm. And they do it because that's what everyone else is doing and that's what they think is cool. But when it comes down to it, it's really not what they want. And you can tell because your feet don't lie, and their actions that they're taking are not consistent with this goal that they have set. So I couldn't agree more that you really have to be aware of why you're doing something if you want to accomplish or you want to reach your full potential. Mm-hmm. Something I really love is out of the book, The Champion's Mind by Jim, I think, Afro, or a Fremo or something like that. He's worked with some of the best athletes in the world, and he does this exercise where he has people do kind of a goal setting like a year out, but instead of like, what do I want to accomplish, he talks about and he has them write how he wants them to behave, how he wants them to react to certain scenarios, how he wants them to think. And it gives people or athletes an opportunity to really describe the type of person or the type of athlete they are a year from now. Because mm-hmm. those process goals, those things that are inside of our control that lead to the big achievements, those are the things that actually move us forward, not just stating a goal and hoping it comes true, right? We have to be aware of the things that are going to actually get us there.
For sure. I mean, it's all habit, right? It's the ability to acknowledge that the little tiny things that you do actually matter. You know, it's the making sure you have, you know, for a client, where's your protein at? I struggle with getting protein. Okay, so every breakfast, this is the number of grams that you need to get at of protein. And it seems so insignificant to them, but it's like, that's really what the end goal becomes. It's little tiny daily decisions. And so explaining that to people, it's so not sexy, right? Mm-hmm. It's like this, oh, okay, like little daily habits. Like, everyone wants that extremity. They want that transformation. They want to like push themselves so hard and get this amazing, glamorous unicorn Skittle end result. But it's not. It's just literally every single day being consistent. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, we were talking about our mutual friends, Chris and Heidi Powell, before this. Mm-hmm. And Chris told me something once that I'll never forget. And it's about building integrity with yourself. He works with people that need to lose hundreds of pounds in a year. And so they are some of the most motivated people on the planet. But he tells them, you can only start this process with one habit. Because what happens is when we try to do 10 new habits at once, as soon as one of them falls off, we just tend to give up. But if mm-hmm. we're able to master one, then we're actually able to start making some long-term change.
I like that. I don't know why I thought of this, but I love the word agreement. You know, like when you mm-hmm. say, hey, I'm going to meet you for coffee, and then something comes up and you're like, hey, can we reschedule? I've been really, that's kind of my mantra this year, is like, stay true to your agreements with mm-hmm. others. And also, more importantly, your agreements with self. Like, I think it's this respect thing where you say something to yourself. And when you do it, a lot of people just have self-doubt. They have fallen off the wagon so many times and failed themselves, or feel like they failed themselves. They don't believe that setting a goal or doing a habit is actually going to make a change. And so I just love that word agreement. Make an agreement with yourself and respect yourself enough to uphold it.
And then over time you start to really trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And so you can make bigger and bigger changes. I really love that. So how do you handle a breakdown in your plan? Like, what goes on mentally, and what actions do you take when you have a breakdown in the you know, process that you've set for yourself or working towards that goal that you're working towards?
Ah, good question. I think, you know, I don't know if I realized this when I first became a personal trainer. So I was still doing one-on-ones, you know, kind of the 5 a.m. to 8 p.m. typical trainer schedule. And I remember this moment. I started off at 24 Hour Fitness, this total Globo meathead gym. And when it would be rush hour in the gym, there would be thousands of people. I felt like every equipment that I had, every piece of thing that I needed was gone. And I had this perfect workout for a client, but all the equipment that I was going to do or use wasn't available. And I remember feeling this like, oh my God, I'm really good at improvising. Like no matter what and who you are and what you do, you have to remember that we all are able to improvise. So I don't ever see it, you know, with things in my business or also things with my own personal goals. I just see it kind of as like a little bump, and it's almost better that way because then you can trust yourself even more. Like we talked about, like, ooh, that could have thrown me off a lot, but instead I did this alternative. So I, you know, physically it could be food. I ran out of protein, so I made up for it in the next meal. Or it could be with my business, like, oh my God, my 100 backpacks didn't show up and I'm sold out. So let's get creative and promote a workout program that's virtual to make up for the fact that I don't have product. And so getting really good about just knowing that nothing's going to go as planned. And when you can let control go of that, and I'm a control freak, so this is a work in progress, is knowing that everything's out of my control. All I can do is control my effort, and all I can do is control the habits like we talked about. And so knowing that those outside forces will always play a piece more than we're willing to admit, you're instantly relieving your anxiety. We are so anxious all the time about things that don't in the long run matter. And knowing, I guess it's just the buildup of learning how to trust yourself that you will figure it out no matter what it is.
As like, this is one of those things that is just so simple that people think there's no way that can have an impact, right? That's that subtle mental shift. But what you're talking about is one of the most important shifts you can possibly make in your mindset. As soon as you stop spending energy worrying and contemplating and replaying the things that are outside of your control, like what other people think or do, or what, you know, happens in the marketplace or happens with the rest of your competitors. Once you stop spending that energy and focus all of it towards things you can control, you're really going to be on fire and you're really going to start being productive in your own life. I love that you said that. How do you break a bad habit or learn a positive one? If you have like a specific example, that'd be great.
Yeah. So I guess for me, my best example would be, you know, cutting sugar. I lived on a typical bodybuilder diet when I first became a trainer and wanted to kind of change my own body and my own body composition. So quite literally, it wasn't even internal at that point. I was so about just looking a certain way. And so, you know, it was all great and good until a lot of other health issues happened. And there was a big shift for me when I was learning about food. You know, and I think everyone has this. I think maybe I have it a little bit more than people. I'm like a crazy, if my hands aren't doing something or if my mind's not creating something, I tend to get really unhappy. And so I know that about myself and I'm always wanting to learn a little bit more. So I feel really lucky. I didn't always know that and that about myself. I always thought that I was just kind of like floating through life. And then there was this trigger, this little thing that happened where I started learning about my body, specifically my gut and my skin, because I had really terrible acne and I also had really bad stomach issues. And so when I learned about those things, I wanted to know about the food that might be causing that. And I've asked doctors before, I've asked people before, and it was until some things came up about, I think it was Rob Wolf, when he started kind of picking up speed with his first book, The Paleo Solution. When I started researching about that, there was this thing that went off in my head where to break a bad habit for myself, it has to be, and I'm kind of the Gretchen Rubin rebel, that's my mindset, so we're all a little bit different. But for me, if somebody just tells me to do it, I'm not going to do it. I want to know the whys, and I need to know every single thing about the whys. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to know, why would dairy cause myself a reaction in my skin? Why would certain foods trigger me having a stomach ache? What was it about it? And that's when I kind of dove into the rabbit hole and got really into the herbal medicine and nutritional therapy and all the hippie things that I do, because it was like, oh, I can now stop hating my body, and I can now start understanding it. And so to break a habit for me, if it's something I need to break, I need to know the consequences or the long-term effects of what I'm doing. And also I need to experience what it is if it's on the opposite end. If I am not sleeping enough and I know that, what am I going to feel like? How productive am I going to be in my business? And how much more muscle am I going to gain if I finally start getting enough sleep for the next couple of weeks? And when you experience, of course, the benefits physically or tangibly, you can see them, but then also just the rate of your production and your productivity, like there's no going back at that point. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to preach in my challenge. Like the 21-day program that I do is simply, I'm not going to tell you anything except facts. And through those facts, I found the light bulb go off for so many people. Like, oh, that's why I'm craving sugar. Oh, that's why I wake up in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. hot and sweaty. You know, it's like, it's incredible. You learn these nerdy things about your pancreas and your liver, and then all of a sudden you have more incentive to want to change the way you eat or the things that you're doing in your life.
I love it. So the term or the phrase "become the CEO of your own health" comes to mm-hmm. mind when you're talking about this, because it's like, for us to really, well, I'll back up. I think the biggest problem I have with, you know, meal plans is that it's literally just telling people what to do, not why they're doing it. Mm-hmm. And what you're talking about is really educating people so that they understand it, they're accountable for it. And if they don't have you around, then they can still make educated, positive choices for themselves. And that's something that they can't, you know, you can't take that education away from them. So it allows them to, quote unquote, become the CEO of their own health. So for can sure. you explain this concept, nutritional therapy, that you keep bringing up? And yeah.
Yeah, totally. So, you know, it's kind of funny because I don't know if I've told anybody this. I wanted to write a book, and I was like, I want to write a book about food and fitness, and I'm motivated, and I'm going to just blah, change the world, which I still feel like. So I'm mocking myself when I say this, but I wanted to write a book, and I was like, I'm just a trainer, like a CPT, NASM, CrossFit, like, you know, that's not enough for me to feel comfortable writing a book about stuff. So I was like, what do I need to do? Like, what school, what program? And I remember this book I was reading at the time. It was called Eat the Yolks by Liz Wolf, and she had NTP next to her name. So I was like, oh, nutritional therapy practitioner. I have no idea what that is, but I'm going to look it up. And I ended up signing up for the school that day because it was like, oh, this is cool. I'm going to learn about food and fitness and have the practitioner name, and it's going to be great. And I already feel like I know all this, but now I'll have the official title. So I go to class the first day we meet, and we're in Utah, and I was just like, oh my God, what is this? What, this is so weird. So it's basically your body. We all know kind of macro balance, eating good essential fatty acids, blood sugar control. There's kind of this foundational piece of eating real food and what it can do for your body. But what I didn't understand at the time was how powerful, no matter what you ate and no matter how much you slept, and no matter how healthy you thought you were, which is myself, I thought I was the healthiest one there, there can still be a lot of different things going on that will prevent you from optimal health. And so that's when you can get into gut health. And so how your gut is functioning and the importance of all the things that come from that, with brain health and immunity and also digestion. So are you digesting all this good food? Especially right now, this is driving me crazy, is this kind of keto lifestyle that's blowing up. But most people don't have the gallbladder or the liver prepared to digest all these fats. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of wrecking their gut, causing gut permeability just by undigested fats. And so that's something I get really fired up about. And then also adrenal health. And when I was going through the program, learning everything, I was also in the open for CrossFit. kind of going all in. You know, it was one of those years that I was like, I want regionals. This is kind of my last hoorah of trying to make regionals. I got really sick. I got a bacterial infection. And then I had midterms and I remember just crashing. And so in the middle of learning about what adrenals were, what cortisol was, what a healthy gut looked like, all things that I thought I had, I hit a wall really hard and really fast. And I think that's kind of the theme in my life. In order for me to be a good teacher of it, I have to personally experience it. And I almost feel like the universe, like when things happen to me that really suck, it is 100% because the universe is like, well, just wait, in a year, you're going to be running a workshop on this mm-hmm. and you're going to change a lot of lives. And I never realized that until recently, but this, I went through a really big, just everything was falling apart. My DHEA was really low and everything was out of whack. And so it was just this amazing experience with nutritional therapy is figure out the nutrients, not just the food that your body is needing. And so I use it with some muscle testing in person with clients, but really I just like to look at how well they're digesting, how are their adrenals functioning. And then we can get even deeper with some methylation and hormone testing with the Dutch test that I run. So it can be really simple, just like it could be, I'm a nutritional therapist, I want you to eat real food. Or it could be, I'm a nutritional therapist and I'm going to tell you which mineral you're lacking in. So it can get as nerdy as you want, but I've just really loved what it's taught me and how I've connected to these clients that I've seen and worked with for years and haven't gotten results with. Like, okay, I see the food that you're eating. I see the workouts that you're doing. We've modified your food in order to adjust and, you know, everyone's different. So what, let's try this. And after so many guesses and tries, there's something else going on. What is causing this inflammation, this metabolic syndrome, this kind of place of plateau that you can't get out of? And especially with CrossFit athletes, when they get that, you know, overly exhausted and they're just, okay, I'm not losing weight, so I'm going to work out even harder, or maybe eat a little less, then it just kind of turns into this vicious cycle.
That is fascinating stuff. I have a selfish question here, because I've been wondering this for a while and just haven't really made it happen. So you've mentioned gut health numerous times.
Yeah.
I really want to learn more about gut health, but I don't want to spend the time sifting through hundreds of peer-reviewed articles. What's like what's the best crash course or resource in general that I can dive into learning about gut health?
Ooh, well, it's a book that I want to write.
Okay.
but I guess the best thing, you know, and, you know, I don't know a book that I love that has everything in it, but what I will say is that when I look at gut health, what all I care about when you look at small intestine is that just knowing how it is literally your universe. So before I test anybody, I've been palpating their small intestine, which is where your belly button area is. When people bloat or cramp, they think it's their stomach and it's not. It's actually your small intestine, your gut. And there's a few things that can happen. So I'll give you a crash course if you want really quickly. Yes, now, yes. But your small intestine has this really amazing epithelial tissue and it heals very quickly. So it's really incredible because it's like, you know, everyone says your tongue heals really quickly. It's the same tissue, the same cells on your tongue that are in your gut. And so they're constantly moving. You have this really cool peristalsis where, you know, food is now digested and broken down in your stomach. And now it goes through your very top of your small intestine and it starts getting absorbed. And if the food has been digested correctly, then your microvilli say, okay, pass this through. This is good to go. And this is not. So some of this is going into the bloodstream. Some of this we're just going to push out. We just don't even want it. And when it gets compromised, when gut health gets compromised is for a couple different reasons. The most common is undigested food. So too big of food particles, or foods that you might be sensitive to that you don't know. And you can be sensitive to food because of a lack of probiotics in your gut. Not to say that it just means take a probiotic, but a lot of people that for me with sensitivities to dairy and gluten, I know it's because my gut microbiome has always been off because I've had so many head traumas and brain concussions even through my childhood. So I've always had a microbiome that's been a little bit off. So I have sensitivities to different foods, but you can also just have it from not properly breaking down the food in your stomach. So when those particles get through the little microvilli, they get bigger and bigger and more separated. And so more things pass through to your bloodstream than they should. And so there that, you know, the this is good, this is bad. Mm-hmm. System becomes confused. And so really when it comes to gut health, it's how do we make sure that those little junctions stay close and that they know they have integrity. They know what to pass through and they know what not to. You can always make sure you have enough, you know, probiotics are fine. It's hard to find a good one that you know is going to actually be working. I love probiotic rich foods. So that would be like kimchi or sauerkraut. Kombucha is okay, but in small doses, smaller doses, in my opinion, it's still got a lot of sugar. So I try to really make it vinegary. If you're going to have it, it shouldn't taste like a soda.
Right.
And then if you do have that gut permeability where your gut is not knowing what to have in the bloodstream and what not, which is ultimately the root of autoimmunity, then we need to heal it. And so how do we heal it? It is so easy. It's so cool because it heals quickly. One, you have to fix the reason that it happened. So for me, I need to make sure I'm digesting food and I stay away from certain foods that cause that permeability. But then you can do things like bone broth and collagen, and you can just make sure, you know, for me, one of the teas that I was telling you earlier, it has marshmallow root. I'm obsessed with marshmallow root. It can like really, it's like glue. It glues you back together. So that's kind of the crash course. It's like gut function is everything. It's your brain. It's how you think. It's, your immunity, it's your happy hormones. I think it's the most important organ in the body. And so making sure that it's not struggling, it's not on the struggle bus, can be the best way to help with your health.
Yeah, we do need you to write that book very badly. I can't remember his name right now. I was watching the CEO of a company called Uviome or something like that, where they're trying to get 2 million people to send in stool samples. And then based on those 2 million, they can kind of extrapolate, you know, not guessing, but they can extrapolate as to the guts of every person on the planet. And mm-hmm. the goal is to be able to tell people very, very quickly what foods they need to eat to repair their gut. And mm-hmm. one of the things I found really interesting is that, and you kind of touched on this, like every 3 months, our gut looks entirely different, right? Because mm-hmm. it's constantly reshaping itself and restructuring itself. And so there are companies coming out and products coming out that will be able to tell us what we need to eat on a regular basis to keep ourselves in balance. So thank you for the overview. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday morning, and he told me that something I didn't know. So if you look at the Amazon top 100 books, really at any given moment, 20 to 30% of those are new diet books. Mm. Why do you think this is? And why do you think so many people have trouble sticking to diets long term?
I can't even believe there's more diets that could be created. Haven't we done everything like the cookie diet, the grapefruit diet? Well, you know, the problem is, as much as I love books, is I was talking to Sean Croxton a little bit about this. Do you know who Sean Croxton is?
I don't.
Oh, he's great. So he interviews all these amazing bestseller authors. And I asked him why he changed kind of gears from health and wellness to more just life and entrepreneur kind of authors. And it's so true. It's like it's the book industry. Everyone has the best thing, the answer. The reason that the person hasn't had success is because they haven't read this book. And it's just exhausting, I think, from an outside perspective, to see all of the main, you know, kind of these followers, these sheep, buy into it, you know. And the reason I think it is because something hasn't clicked for them, whether their goal setting was off because they don't actually know what they want their goals to be. They're unhappy, they're unsettled, and they have tried things that haven't worked. So it gives them hope, it lights something up, but obviously not long enough for them to stay true to it. And I think it's so frustrating for me because when I see this the nutritional therapy side is like, okay, these people have sugar cravings because they might have some insulin resistance. Their body isn't responding to insulin like it should. And a lot of us can struggle with that. But what I like to tie this into is, okay, you think you have sugar cravings because you're weak-minded and you have no willpower, and you say, I'm not going to have anything for 3 weeks, and then you go crazy and you binge, and now you're back to hating who you are, and you're going to go get the next book to restart from scratch. And so it's the whole concept, like, no, I want you to sit down and listen. Why do we have sugar cravings? And then that's when it changes. And so I think that's where my passion comes from, is I wish these books would stop trying to sell them the best idea and the newest idea and simply just educate, because that's the only way you will have lasting change, period.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think if any diet that doesn't address behavior change is only going to work for 1 out of 1,000 people. Yeah. Just teaching people why and having them understand something doesn't equip them with the skills to be able to continue that in their life, right? Food is so entrenched in our psychology and just our behavior in general. It's mm-hmm. it's the first thing in life that we have to make us kind of calm down as babies. You know, we cry, mom gives us milk, we feel better. Mm-hmm. I kind of look at it like addiction, where if you treat a drug addict and just say, don't use drugs, that's only going to work for so long, right? Because that person is going to be hanging around the same people. They're going to be encountering stress in their life. They have all of these triggers and these poor habits that are contributing to their addiction, not to mention the trauma and stuff like that. If you mm-hmm. treat someone, and try to teach them a new diet, they need to know how to overcome certain obstacles that they keep hitting in their life. They need to know about planning and preparation. They need to understand that the only way to have a long-term diet is to completely change your lifestyle in general and not just do an 8-week program, right? Mm-hmm. And hope to maintain that level of success.
Yeah, I think our relationship with food is the most important relationship besides the relationship that you have with yourself. And I think it's, just as important as it to know, okay, this is a big lifestyle change and I have to make big changes. It's so even more so important, in my opinion, to allow yourself flexibility for when you do F up. So knowing that, and this is so tough, it's like people are all out or all in. And when they are all in and then something happens, they have nachos or they eat, half the cookie dough and they wake up in the morning and it's like, I failed. Instead of feeling that failure, it's like, nope, start from scratch. Nothing happened. It is what it is. And I have to get back on it. And so seeing that consistency of like allowing yourself to be human and not have to be all in, all out. And I think that's where people just don't really see it. I think that they, it's big picture. They feel like a failure. They feel shamed. And just knowing that it's so okay and allowing yourself to remind yourself, like, it is okay. My worth is not lessened because of that. And that's the whole emotional component. Like, you have to have the psychology of eating and the habit talk dialed in way before, or even more important than the meal plan that you're actually eating.
Love it. So I want to move on to some kind of more personal questions. Mm-hmm. So this is from Heidi Powell. So she had an interesting question. Basically, how much assistance do you feel like you got from being on the Next Fitness Star in terms of being where you are today? And the interesting part that she brought up is that I think a lot of people have this assumption that really successful individuals get just like this one opportunity and it mm-hmm. completely changes their life. And like, that's the cause of their success. So mm-hmm. what are your thoughts on that in general?
Oh, thanks, Heidi. That's a good question. The Next Fitness Star was such a, like everything, an accident in my life. Next one thing led to the next, and all of a sudden I was top 5 and going to New York to take pictures. I was like, what is this? This is crazy, because I I have traps and I don't have like, I have huge quads that none of their clothes fit for me. You know, like there was nothing that about my body that fit in the mold. And so I thought, you know, no matter what comes of this, I am so proud that they're representing a different body type that is, you know, there and strong and not cookie cutter Women's Health magazine. And I was just really proud of Women's Health magazine for doing that. And so that in itself was, something that I was proud of. What was kind of interesting is that with, you know, filming when I got picked to be the finalist, of course it's amazing, but I think it was more actually, there was a little bit of this kind of head nod from people where I became not just a reality TV star who thought it would be cool to take clients online because they could. It was, oh, this person actually knows what they're talking about. So outside of that, you know, and it was wonderful. Like I'm not that was where I met Chris and Heidi and, you know, I'm on Good Morning America. It was like so surreal. But outside of that, I just really don't know if, you know, it was an incredible opportunity, but I don't know if there really was a huge influx in followers or, you know, like, oh, wow, this is the new trainer. Then, you know, tons of businesses coming to her site. It never was like that. It was just like kind of more a head nod of, all right, this is what Emily does. She is no longer Emily from the real world. She is now, you know, really helping people with moving and food. So I don't know if that answers the question, but to me, that was enough of a reason to do it all. And I'm so grateful for it. But there never was this like huge, like pivotal moment of like, oh, now Emily is at this level. I never felt like that way.
Right. Yeah. I think it's just a shame that some people are convinced that someone like you just got lucky, right? And that one opportunity is what caused your success rather than everything that they can't see, all of the hard work behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what else do you attribute to your kind of personal recipe for success? What have been some of the drivers for you, especially anything that might be surprising to anyone listening?
You know, I'm really creative and I used to not think I was creative, but I think all of us are creative in our own way. I think I always thought of creativity as being able to like paint and write and sing. And I wish I could sing, but I cannot. Mm-hmm. But what I found is through the process of starting my businesses, one very big example is like, okay, I have my online emilyschramm.com challenges strength programs. I want to start this new company, the backpack company, the MPAC. I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this. So when my back is up against the wall and I don't want an investor and I don't want to go into debt, it's just this really cool thing that happens where like, okay, let's make shit happen. And so creating a new program or launching something on Emily Schramm was what funded me for my MPAC and kept me debt free and still debt free and investor free. And so I think creativity is huge and I love helping people become more creative. I think that a lot of it actually has to do with the food we eat, which just sounds so crazy. But when your gut is functioning well and you don't live from meal to meal because you're hangry all the time, you actually can light up your brain a lot more. And so I really, you know, especially with someone that has had so many brain injuries, I think I'm a little bit more in tune to when my brain is working and when it's not. But when it's working, I love it. Like, brain on fire. Like I will think of anything I need to in order to make my company successful. So creativity has been really big for me.
Can I ask you a question on that?
Of course.
When and where do you feel like you're most creative?
Well, I kind of go back and forth because sometimes I feel creative when I need to be. Like it's almost like this, oh shit, like I have to pay for $25,000 in inventory for MPACs. Or things are not going to go well. So it's like this almost like survival mechanism, but I don't think that's necessarily healthy. So when I'm the most creative is when I have allowed myself time to literally that white space time, like what lights me up. And I always ask my clients this, what makes you happy? What genuinely makes you feel the most you possible? And so for me, I have to be scared shitless. I know that sounds so crazy, but I have to do something that scares the shit out of me. And that is when I feel my most Emily. And so, you know, I just got back from Costa Rica. So surfing waves that were probably too big for me, snowboarding and trying a new trick, even though I was like, oh shit, the whole time. Like, I'm always scared shitless, but when I am, and then I do it anyway, and I might not do it well, but I do it, I feel so good. And I've always kind of been that way, but I've appreciated it a lot more in the recent years of like, okay, if I don't feel like myself, and it's probably not the healthiest thing to have adrenaline in order to like feel comforted, but for whatever reason, it's almost this, I have to know I'm capable. And then I remind myself, I'm like, oh my God, I just did that. That is so cool. I can do anything. Let's go. It's very similar to a CrossFit workout, like doing a CrossFit workout and beating your time doing a Fran in a time that you never thought you could do before. And then you look at your old time and it's 4 minutes faster. It's that same feeling. It's that superhero. I am the shit. I am invincible. Let's go. Those are the moments that I love the most.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. It's like, I'm rarely very creative when I'm just trying to be creative, right? When I'm just in my head thinking and trying to come up with something creative. But if I either get into, you know, some kind of flow state through a sport or you know, an extreme activity, or if I allow myself like a really rejuvenating activity or just like hanging out with a close friend or family member when I'm not stressed out, then the ideas just pop into my head.
Yes. And it's like I almost feel like it's that control thing. When you let go of control, like you know, for me, I have to figure out some stuff with my challenge for 2018. And I was like, I have to figure it out. And then I let myself just be like, it'll come to me. I trust that it'll come to me. I went on a drive, listened to some music, and then it was like the whole project just shot in my head. I'm like, oh my God, that's it. Like, I allowed myself to not think about it. I allowed myself to breathe, to dance, to do something that's very, you know, just human. And then all of a sudden it's there.
I love it. I have a few more. I want to be respectful of your time, so I'll probably cut out a couple of these, but what do you do when you feel overwhelmed in life? You have a million different things going on. So do you just ride it out, or do you have a strategy for getting your life back into balance?
Oh, the constant struggle. I think I do feel very comfortable with chaos. I was able to talk to Sean a little bit about this. I was uprooted when I was really young, like 13. So what I thought was very, you know, true and fact and comforted and life and just how the world works. At 13, I was very much ripped out of that situation and my whole world changed. And so I found out what the place I was living, everything was just, have you ever seen the movie The Village? By M. Night, oh, it's such a good one. M. Night Shyamalan. Mm-hmm. I definitely would put it on your list. But there was a situation where you're living in this kind of bubble, and then you get taken out of the bubble and realize how much life actually exists. And so for me, anytime I'm too comforted or like settled, I think I tend to get anxiety because I have never learned how to trust that. So when I do get overwhelmed, I try to just be really grateful, because gratitude is just so big for so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. But I want to know, like, what, you know, I remind myself, where were you a year ago? Where were you 3 years ago? You didn't even have a business 6 years ago. So it's like, you know, it's just so important to put into perspective, and gratitude can do that. I also, I guess when I'm overwhelmed, I just try really hard to not just keep stressing myself out. So that goes back into the adrenal health. What I used to do is, okay, I'm overwhelmed, I'm just going to go crush a workout and then I'll get back to it. I have to be really smart about the workouts I do depending on what's on my plate. So sometimes it's really nice to just mentally check out and get a great workout in and feel really good. But I know that if I do it too hard and too fast, which I tend to do because I'm so competitive and crazy, that I won't have anything left in the tank. And then my emails get even worse. And then my ideas are even worse. And so I've been really smart about, okay, my physical activity is 100% dependent on what else is going on in my life. There's only so many stressors we can handle. and I have to pick and choose. And so that's been helpful, is like, okay, I might not be able to do Helen or Fran or Grace, but I can go lift heavy shit, put my hands on a barbell, mm-hmm. and then hop on a ski erg for 10 minutes. And that makes me feel not quite as drained and also still energized in order to keep going when I come back from the gym, if that helps.
Absolutely. I've been trying to keep this phrase in mind recently, which is pressure is a privilege. Mm-hmm. You know, it literally is a privilege to have things in your life that you're passionate about and to have the pressure to get results in life. A lot of people either never find something that they're that passionate about, or they just don't allow themselves to push enough to be stressed. I've found mm-hmm. myself kind of in this space over the past few years, like trying to get rid of all stress. And then just recently, I've learned like the goal is actually never to be without stress completely. You know, the stress is just an indicator that we're pushing ourselves, that we're outside of our comfort zone. And so if we don't have any of that, it's probably because we're not really, really yeah. pushing ourselves, right?
Totally. Yeah. And it's like the distinguishing factor between stress and fear. Stress is amazing. It's going to exist. It's like quite literally why we adapt to workouts and why we build muscle. We stress our body recovers, we see changes, right? So same thing with life, like the whole push out of comfort zone. But then I feel like what happens is the stress becomes a fear. So it's something's, the motivation is coming from a fear of something. And that's when it can turn negative so easily. Like, I am doing this and I have to do this, blah, blah, blah. Not because I'm passionate about it, because I fear failure. Or even for some people, I actually fear success. And really digging into like what is driving it. If it's fear, we got to figure that out, because you will always hit a plateau mm-hmm. if your motivation is fear driven.
Love it. So I told you I was going to ask you this before the call, so I could prepare you. So I was at this seminar recently, and they drew this distinction between the words but and so for anyone listening, imagine something that you have in your life that you really want to do, and we all have these things, so that we have these things that we really want to do, but there's a reason that we can't. So for me, the example that is present in my life right now is that I want to have more fun and play in my life, but I work and travel constantly. And so what we do by putting that but there, unbeknownst to us, we make everything before the but impossible. And we relate to things that are completely unrelated. Me wanting to have more fun and play in my life is not in any way related to I work and travel a lot. So the idea is to replace the word with an and. So I want to have more fun and play in my, actually I'll back up, because I have that but there, I've found myself just kind of being resigned and not putting forth effort to change anything. Mm-hmm. Replacing that but with an and, I want to have more fun and play in my life, and I work and travel constantly. It separates the two, and it allows me, it immediately opens up the possibility for me to do both, right? I can take responsibility for both and do both at the same time. And so for me, it immediately, I had like a lot of ideas of how I could solve the problem. So I'm wondering, what is something in your life that you really want to do, but there's something stopping you?
Well, I think I finally am pushing through this, but so I will give two examples, but for a long time it was writing a book. I mean, that's a huge one for me, but I always felt not ready, not educated enough. You know, I'm full of so many, like, I love everything. I don't just like fitness. I don't like just, you know, herbs. It's kind of, I'm kind of all over the place. And so I've always felt like it's too hard to put that into one place, one mm-hmm. book, but that's so who I am. So I've been really, that's kind of the last, really recent, last 4 weeks has been a lot of writing, and I'm really excited about that. But I guess that's been the biggest one that's changed. And I'll make sure that when I get stuck that I do the and, because that definitely will keep coming up. Part of me wants to just like disappear. So what I keep thinking, like, I want to just go, I want to live on a ranch in Montana, but I need Wi-Fi. So
oh, this totally works for that. They definitely have Wi-Fi on Montana ranches.
I know. See, you're right. I think like there's this funny meme about like part of me just wants to live in a cabin and part of me wants to just go Gatsby. And I feel that same way. Like part of me just wants to be in the city. But most of me, especially the more and more I surround myself with work and opportunities and travel as my business grows, I'm like, God, I just want to live near some horses and have them be my friends.
Oh, I can so relate to you. Maybe not the horses, but definitely like the kind of way of life.
Yeah.
I'm living on this phrase recently that success traps are the hardest to get out of. Harder to get out of than failure traps. When we build up a level of success, it's just such a great excuse not to change anything, even if it's not exactly what we want to be doing.
I love that.
I had a friend, I'll give one more example and then we'll move on. I had a friend recently that I told about this, and he really wanted to be with his daughter on her birthday. He's trying to build a better relationship with his, 7-year-old daughter, I think, or she might even be younger, but he has to be in San Francisco this year on her birthday. So for weeks, he just really felt like a victim and he felt really shitty about it. Like there was nothing he could do. As soon as he changed it to and I have to be in San Francisco, he immediately starts planning how he can bring his entire family out to join him in San Francisco so that he can do both. So if you're listening, I really challenge you to think of something that you really, really want to do, but there's some excuse that, some really good reason as to why you can't do it. We all have great reasons as to why. Try changing it to an and see what possibilities open up.
I love that.
Okay. So just to finish up, I got a couple fun questions for you. Just finish these sentences, basically. So if you really knew me, you'd know that I blank.
Oh God. If you really knew me, you would know I'm a total nut job. I'm like such a crazy person. I guess like people in my circle, they know how crazy I am. So my spirit animal is a hummingbird. And I think that's the best way to explain.
That's my wife's spirit animal. Cool.
Stop it. Really? Yep. So then we're probably very similar where I'm like, la, 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 go, 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 go. And then like I sit too long and I'm ready for the next. And so the people in my life have learned to embrace it, but people that don't know me, they just see pictures or some video, but I'm just a total nut job. Like I have like 10 business ideas all the time and I want to travel here and here and here and I get bored very quickly. So I guess that I'm a hummingbird and some people hate it and some people love it.
You just sound like an entrepreneur to me.
Oh, thank you.
The most embarrassing moment I'm willing to share on a podcast is blank.
God. Well, I always think of this moment when I was learning how to drive a stick shift. And her name was Tilly the Turtle, my car.
Nice.
And I was late and I was picking up my sister food from the grocery store because she was busy. I can't even remember. I just remember being frazzled and I raced into the grocery store and all of a sudden I heard my car alarm go off. I'm like, oh my God, someone's stealing my car. Someone's stealing my car. And I started yelling like, someone's stealing my car. And the car starts, it's on a hill. It's parked on a hill. Starts going so fast backwards, but nobody is in the driver's seat. So to me, I instantly go from someone stealing my car to, oh my God, I forgot the emergency brake on a hill.
Oh God. And
so in a grocery store, it went so fast. I just remember looking, you can't do anything. You're just in horror. Like, and like people walking. Luckily this guy grabbed his kid. The car's still going. It slams so hard into this curb. Those little pretty, they have trees growing out of it to kind of like break up the parking spot. Thank God that was there. It like slammed straight up and it was almost, like in my mind, it was just like a cartoon of like straight up the tree was my car, like the wheels up and oh my God. And I just will never, ever, ever. I triple check the emergency brake.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That's a good one.
All right. That's a good PG one. I like that one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Do you have anything else any advice for listeners that want to live an extraordinary life like you?
I think I get asked a lot, like, were you always like this? You know, like, were you always an entrepreneur and did you always want to do big things or whatever it is? I think people kind of have this perception of me that's, to me, I'm like, God, I just do what feels good. You know, I have this really good sense of self that I think everyone can develop, even if you don't have it yet. It's going to come from trusting yourself and reminding yourself of how strong and capable and badass you are. So for me, it's like, if it feels right, do it, follow it, you know, go all in, you know. And I think most of us, we want approval from other people, or we need validation, or we just allow ourselves a little too much time and the second guessing and the doubting happens. And when you just go, when you just are like, this is what I want to do, I'm going to doubt it. I'm going to freak out about it. It's going to make me nervous, but I committed. I'm doing it. It's like it opened up my world. And I think the easiest way to kind of help people do that and experience life and just be a better version of self is say yes. Say yes more often. And there's going to be times where you're going to say, you should say no, and you should just say yes to everything. But for me, it was like, we have all these excuses of why we shouldn't go out or meet somebody or try a new sport or do something we've wanted to do but haven't, you know? And so if you just say, I'm going to do it, yes, it's going to scare me, I'm going to be nervous, but I'm going to do it anyway. My whole world opened up when I finally started saying yes to opportunities, because they might not feel like they're there, but they're so there. The universe is just waiting for you to be ready for them.
Hell yeah. That is awesome. That's so similar to the but and and, right? There's always like valid reasons why we shouldn't do something. But if we just set that aside for a second and just take action towards that thing, I think almost everyone in the world would be amazed at what they could accomplish.
Yes, for sure.
I was like 50-50. She's going to say the key is through gut health.
Yes, and gut health helps.
Yeah. Okay, where can people keep up with you and find out more about your programs and the nutritional therapy?
Yeah, so my website's emilyschramm.com, and that's pretty much where you can find everything. You know, it's really fun if you want to look at my MPAC, the backpack that turns into a weight training bag. It's just, I made it when I was actually watching CrossFit Games and I couldn't find weights to lift. Mm-hmm. So I just stuffed my whole suitcase with weight and started squatting it. And it was from that moment where I was like, oh my God, I can create this. So it's a huge, CrossFitters love it. It's just my favorite thing when I travel. So that's at the MPAC, EMPACK.com. And besides that, my Instagram is Emily Schramm, and I kind of, you know, loop my superhero challenge and my MPAC through those. So you'll be able to find it all.
Awesome. And I know you have a free challenge on your site called the Holiday 8. What is that?
Yeah. So once a year, I started this a year or two ago. I just want people to not feel guilty over the holidays and just feel like, you know, even though we're probably going to go crazy and eat a little bit too much and drink a little too much, as we should, I want them to feel like they're doing something and they still have a little bit of, you know, control in their life so they don't get too derailed. So what it is, it's just an 8-day free holiday challenge. It starts the week of Thanksgiving, and I just send you a recipe swap. So a typical kind of comfort food, holiday food, ways to make it a little healthier, and then a workout a day that you can do at home with dumbbells or with an MPAC.
That sounds awesome. Sweet. Okay. Thank you so much, Emily. This has been phenomenal.
Yay. Thanks, Michael.
Have a great day.